Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things called impossible, and He can do what no other power can do. Heavenly Father, we thank You and we praise You, dear God, for Your goodness and faithfulness to us. We thank You that You have redeemed us out of this world, out of the power of this world, away from the draw and the temptations of this world, dear God. Each and every day, You lead us closer and closer to Your perfect will through the leading of the Holy Spirit. And as we yield to that, dear God, we experience blessing upon blessing that we never imagined that might be ours. We just ask Your blessing on this gathering today. Lord, You encourage us through Your word that the Spirit would have free reign in our hearts and our souls, and that we would focus our hearts and minds on the message that You have for us, that we would see the importance of embracing the truth in every portion of our lives. And we look to You now with great thanksgiving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to start today and mainly speak from the book of Philemon, the one chapter, 25 verse book in the New Testament. But as you turn there, I want to read some familiar verses to you from Romans 8. Where Paul writes, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." The result of Christ being in us, and that's one of the things that Paul emphasizes throughout his writings. You know, he speaks of, you know, Christ in you, the hope of glory, the assurance of glory. We live in a world where there is very little assurances, very little in the way of assurances that the world can cling to. People are rapidly giving up great treasures and great blessings in their lives because they do not see the value in them. They don't see the treasure. They don't see the importance of clinging to fundamental truths. I mentioned, I believe, it was either Wednesday night, listened to a series of 5 minutes talks on ethics and morality and the world that we live in. And whenever God's morality, I think it's Wednesday night because we're speaking from, studying Deuteronomy and looking at different topics, and it's a lot about morality. It's about good versus evil and choosing good, having good, experiencing good. And in this goodness that we have been given in God, by God in Christ, He has put us in a place where nothing can separate us from His love for us. Read some recent articles about creation and how much of the modern astrophysics and study of the universe, some of the earlier and even some contemporary scientists, if you would, using the term somewhat loosely, do not like the theory of an expanding universe because that means it all originated in one point. They're expanding equally in different, in, away from the center point, and they don't know where that center point is. But the fact that it came back to a center point, and then what? Where'd that come from? How did that happen? They cannot answer that, so they try to explain around it. But as Paul says to the Colossians, he says that this, the mystery of God in Christ has been hidden from ages and from generations, but is now made manifest to his saints, his people, his holy ones. We are the holy ones of God. We're not talking about saints that some church might declare someone to be a saint. God refers to all of his people as holy ones, for we are the children of God. He says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope, the assurance, the guarantee, absolute, of glory. So there's nothing that can separate us from this glory that God has promised us, has given us. It's ours now through Christ, our Lord and Savior. And so God, we read also in Romans 8 I won't go there, but Christ is the gift of God. The gift of his love, the manifestation of his love. This time at the holidays, people are looking for a special gift, and we like to get a gift that keeps on giving. Well, there's no gift that keeps on giving like that of the gift of God in Christ. Because we find day after day, hour upon hour, how blessed we are, how unique we are. How absolutely, utterly unique we are in all of the universe, in that we have a beginning in God, that we have a beginning in the will of God before there even was an earth. And I believe before there was a universe. He has always known about us and had a plan and a purpose in us. And time is not of an essence. He has a perfect timing. It doesn't matter how far away, how old these rocks in space are. Everything that God is doing is right here on earth in you and in me. That's God's focus. And if we would focus on what God focuses on, life becomes pretty simple and pretty overwhelmingly joyful. We begin to see more and more and more of how unique, how rare, how precious we are to God. So here in Philemon, I'd like to read verses 4 through 7. And I'll just mention this about this letter. It's a letter that Paul wrote to a brother, to a friend. And it's one of the most gracious, one of the most edifying writings, inspirational writings of the Apostle Paul, as he brings up this issue of this Onesimus with Philemon. But in this, verses 4 through 7, Paul writes, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. Philemon loved the children of God. That the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Paul thought very, very highly of Philemon. But he's also approaching him very graciously and taking this moment to help Philemon. As we don't have time to study the whole letter, but just quickly looking at verse 20 and 21, Paul writes, "Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say." He was both recognizing Philemon's spiritual maturity, expressing confidence in his goodness and his ability and willingness to be a source of blessing. And he says this boldly. He wrote unto him, he's asking him something. And he says, "I'm writing this knowing that you will not only do what I ask, but you will do more than I ask." The more you understand the point, Paul is saying, the point that I'm making regarding Onesimus, the more you understand this situation, the more I know that you will see the benefit and how I am right and how it is good for you and good for the body of Christ. That you, and he'll even do more. Doing what Paul says was not enough, he went to do more. So, back in verses 4 through 7, I want to focus on verse 6. And mainly three key words, but one main thought. Verse 6 says that the community, he's speaking of praying, that he's in prayer for Philemon. He's heard of his love and faith towards Jesus and all the saints. But his prayer is that the communication of thy faith. The key word here is communication. It's a fairly common word. It's used 20 times in the New Testament. But it means partnership. Partnership. In other words, that him and Paul were in the same deal together. And that Philemon and all the church, all the body of Christ, and Jesus himself were all in partnership. It means participation. Not only was it a connection in the sense of having something in common, but it was a participating in those things that they had in common. It also is translated the word fellowship throughout the New Testament. I think most of the times that the word fellowship is used is this word, communication. We're in communication today regarding the things of God. I'd love to hear what you have to say about God. I'd love to share with you the things God has put on my heart to share with you. And I'd love to have the opportunity to share with others what God has done in my life. So there's this participating in our lives together in Christ, that we are in the make up the body of Christ, and that we are all members of this body with one goal, that is doing the will of God. In our own individual places, we're doing the will of God. The word communication also means distribution, and it's translated that way, referring to the distribution to the saints. Philemon distributed. He gave. He was blessed by Jesus, and he gave the things that God has blessed him with. He watered, and in watering, he himself was watered. In blessing, he himself was blessed of God. So his communication is not just a writing letters back and forth and being in touch, but also being in partnership, but also in participation and an active sense, in active fellowship, and as a result, he distributed. He distributed of his faith. His faith in God became, in a sense, not only spiritual distribution and the blessing of the word and blessing of truth, but blessings in whatever way he could. Whatever way he could. John writes about this in in, I think, 3 John. Again, the distribution to the saints and helping those along the way. We need one another's help. We benefit from one another's help, and we benefit from helping others. It's a mutual time of a mutual edification, mutual blessing. So Philemon was known for being that way, but Paul's prayer for him was that the communication of his faith that he had shown and he had done may become, the next word I was going to mention here, that the word communication is also the word that Paul used in talking about communion, and we're having communion today. We are participating, by taking communion, we are participating in the identification of manifesting or showing forth the death of Christ till he comes. We are partnering in that same purpose of Jesus in laying down his body and shedding his blood. We are saying that we are demonstrating that we are in partnership with Jesus. We are participating in the same purpose, and we're in fellowship, communion with Christ as we live our lives. And in Hebrews chapter 13, the word communicate is stated again in chapter 13, verse 16, about to forget not to communicate with the saints. But moving on, he said that the communication of thy faith may become effectual. This word effectual is only used 3 times in the New Testament. That your faith, the communication of faith, may become active or more active. Operative. Powerful. It's translated as the word powerful, and we'll read that in a very well-known verse. But the effectual working of the Word of God, the effectual, Paul's prayer for Philemon was that this communication would become even more operative and powerful. It had already been powerful. But Paul's prayer is that he would continue and increase because God had set before him, as he did Paul, an open door to minister to the body of Christ in this day and age. This is late in Paul's life. Very late in Paul's life. Perhaps within, because right now he's a prisoner. He's in a Roman prison. But he states that he hopes to be able in verse 22, he said to Philemon, he said, "You prepare a place for me. I hope to get out of here, and I will come to you, and I will come to be with you through your prayers and the deliverance of God." But his prayer was that the communication of his faith might ever be increasingly operative, active. I think I mentioned this last week, but a lot of people talk about, I wish I just knew what the will of God for my life was. I just knew what I could do with, what am I supposed to be doing? And that answer always, to me, always starts with what's in front of you right now. What can you do right now to further the gospel, to demonstrate the love of God that God has blessed you with? It all it takes is a word, a prayer, a kind of taking on the yoke of Christ and helping pull that gospel wagon. I remember preaching on that many, many years ago. Being a laborer with Christ in the things of the gospel. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, in verse 9, Paul states, "For a great door, an effectual, operative, active, powerful, is opened unto me. And there are many adversaries." You know, what God has set before each one of us, because if you recall, in the book of Revelation chapter 3, the message that Jesus sent to the church at Philadelphia, he said, "Before I have set before thee an open door, which no man can close." There stands nothing between us and the amazing work of God in our lives. It's a wide open door. But there are many adversaries. There's much that could go, you know, just things that we could run into, things that could come against us. But that door is open. That door of opportunity is open. The lives that we have in this world are, again, the single most precious, important life, because we are the children of God, and in us, God is doing a work that will glorify His Son, Jesus. He wants to glorify the work that His Son, Jesus, that He yielded to and He gave Himself to when He came into this world. And when He said, "I will go, I will lay down my life for your children, Father. I will be that atoning sacrifice." And He gave up everything that He might redeem everything. Everyone. Even for those who are not yet believers in Christ, helping them to understand that God has set before them an open door of eternal life, an open door of eternal blessing, and a new life, an exciting new life that isn't limited by the weather. It isn't limited by money. It isn't limited by health. It isn't limited by our appearance. All the things that the world seems to be focusing on, there's all these limitations. The Christian life is called to be an unlimited life, an absolutely wide open door through which we can walk, through which we can pass through in the power of God, in the power of the Holy Spirit, in which God can do anything in any one of our lives if we are available to Him. We're called to be vessels of honor. I've referred to it many times as we are God's silverware drawer. And when He needs a fork, who wants to be able to reach in and grab a fork and have it do what forks do? We are prepared unto the Master's use. When He needs somebody to carry a special message to somebody, when He needs someone to stand in a place and to have a speak of Jesus on an elevator or in a room or before a single person, when He needs somebody there, He wants to be able to reach for that instrument that will work, and that instrument is prepared unto the Master's use. Paul said there's a great door, and effectual, active, powerful, is opened unto me, but there's many adversaries. But God will, and that's Paul's message, God will enable. Because what we learn is, and we'll talk about it here in a bit, we have received the greatest gift that can ever, ever possibly be given. And it's a gift that keeps on giving. And that gift can become active, operative. That power of that gift revealed is only revealed as we use it. As we use it. And then quickly, Hebrews chapter 4, speaking of this word effectual, in Hebrews chapter 4, and let's just read verse 12. For the word of God is quick and effectual, powerful. This is the third use of this word in the New Testament. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God pierces through all the baloney. Bone and marrow, doesn't matter. It gets clear into the very depths of a person's heart and soul. And that's why a lot of people don't like to hear it. Because their lives are filled with nonsense in the things of this world. And we as the children of God, we have the calling of God, even as Paul's encouraging Philemon, that the communication, this participation in the things of God in this world, in his life, might become more powerful, more effectual, more active. There is within us the ability, any one of us, not our ability, but the ability of Christ in us. As Paul said, we are but earthen vessels, but there's a treasure. There's a treasure inside every one of us. We need to let it out. We need to let God draw it out. Open that door and enter in and enter through and not worry about the adversaries. As I started off reading in Romans chapter 8, there is nothing in all of the universe that can separate us from the love of God in Christ. Not a single thing. As long as we're trusting in God. If we fear, if we are deceived by the devil, as so many are, if we are taught doctrine that teaches, that states, well, you know, yeah, Jesus has atoned for your sin. Yeah, you're raised from the dead in Christ, but... And then there's a whole litany of, but this, but this, but this, but this. And you can say, anybody that says that, you can look at them and say to them, but nothing can ever separate me from God's love. That is the source, that is the engine of our lives. That is the source of our power, that assurance, that strong assurance, and that full assurance of hope that God has given us in Christ. We have to have that as a foundation to know that we are unshakable. We cannot be removed. So many hymns we sing speak of those sorts of things. Whether we realize it or not, how we feel about it or not, doesn't much matter. But what matters is the fact. Just as the sun will come up in the east every day until the Lord may change the way the solar system works, we can plan on that sun coming up in the east, whether it's cloudy or clear. It does not matter. It does that every day. Nobody on earth, nothing that we know of, has the power to change that. Nothing. So too is the Son of God in our lives. He is there constantly And we can be fully assured and plan on it every day. But the third word that I will look at really is the key word for this verse back in our text. Philemon 6. That the communication of thy faith might become operative, effectual, more powerful by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. This word acknowledging, again, it's used 20 times in the New Testament. Generally translated as recognition. But the communication of your faith becomes more active or powerful by the acknowledging, by the recognition, the full discernment, the word means. But really, the real power is in the acknowledging it. Acknowledgement. Acknowledgement. We all have to, as we live in this world, we have to come to a point where, you know, there's sometimes in our life we have to acknowledge our own personal physical limitations. I am not going to be a ballet dancer. I knew from a young age there was lots of things that I could not or did not want to do. And as I acknowledged those things, those weren't goals. You just live with who you are, and that's really the key. That the communication of faith is made more powerful. Our function as a child of God, our function as a Christian, as a functioning member of the body of Christ that we're in communion with and fellowship with, that we might be a blessing to the body of Christ. Where Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12, where he talks about the body of Christ, where every joint supplieth what the other needs. You know, we just by doing the little things that we do, we enable somebody else to do the things they do. And the entire body works together when each part is doing what it's supposed to be doing. And we have an important part because we are part of the body of Christ. But the communication of our faith in God can become more powerful. Paul's prayer is by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is already in you in Christ. Oftentimes we pray, well, Lord, I need more of this, or I need more of that. And the great amazing thing about it is when we realize, no, I don't. I have Christ in me. I have the Word of God in me. I have the promises of God toward me. I have the goodness of God to guide me. I have the Holy Spirit, who is the other comforter, to be my strength and my power. like Peter said in Acts chapter 1, Jesus said to them, I'm not going to turn there, but after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you have the power to be witnesses in Jerusalem, in Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. The Holy Spirit is our power. As we acknowledge, how often do we acknowledge our weaknesses, our inabilities? How often do we say, well, you know, I can't do that because... But yet the Bible says I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I've been in a position, in different positions through my life to witness a lot of people's lives over a period of time, or maybe a person's life for a short time, but I get to learn about their experiences over a long period of time, their decisions over a long period of time. I've heard a lot of people, including myself, and all of us are included in this, where we make excuses why I cannot do something. We might make excuses why such and such is not possible for me. And so we acknowledge our weaknesses. We acknowledge, you know, I've acknowledged the fact that I'm not going to be a ballet dancer. But if I wanted to try, I could certainly learn a lot more about it. I may not appear on stage, but I can probably learn a few things. My toes hurt already thinking about it. I might not be the world's greatest evangelist or pastor or teacher or anything like that. Never tried to be. What I do, though, is acknowledge what God has given me, what God has called me to, what God has promised me, and every day I try to walk in that, and I try to acknowledge that. I work with a kind of a cute little example, I guess. At work, we had the first weekend in November, we had a memorial service for all of our patients and the families of our patients that had passed over the past year. And young woman, she's just a jewel, but she's, you know, what she does, she's a bath aide. She's a hospice aide. But she makes her living every day by giving people baths and taking care of their bodies. That's pretty humbling work. But she loves it. She loves to see people, make them feel better. But we had this memorial service, and it's something we're all supposed to take part in. And so I said, you know, what I'd like to have you do is, we had these names to read off, just read through a list of names. And she said, I would rather die than get up in front of an audience. She says, I can't do this. I said, you not only can do it, but you can do it wonderfully. I just kept encouraging her. And when the service time came, she got up and read through a total of 28 names or whatever. And afterwards, the next work day on a Monday, I believe, she talked to me. She said, you know, I just, that's not what I do. I can't do that. When I was had to take speaking classes in school, I'd say, I need to go first. Because if I sit there and listen to other people speak, I'm going to be carrying what I have to say with what they're saying, and I'm going to have myself totally psyched out. I will not be able to function. She says, everybody knew that. That's how I got through the course. She said, but in getting up and reading those names, I found out that I could do it. And I'm glad I did it. She learned how to make herself do something. Instead of acknowledging her fears and her lack of experience, she acknowledged the fact that she was a capable person. And there was not a person there that she hadn't seen before anyway. But when you acknowledge the things that God has called us to, the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you already. And we stop acknowledging, because if we acknowledge our weaknesses all the time, if we live in obedience and in subservience to our weaknesses, our lives will go nowhere. We will never accomplish the things that God has called us to accomplish. Several years ago, I was having a lot of debilitating, almost joint pains here and there. And I went to physical therapists and said, this knee needs to work like it's supposed to. And he examined it. We did some things and gave me some exercises. And now I can use it. I was walking with a limp and in pain. Instead of acknowledging, acknowledge the fact this body's going to fall apart. Our lives in this world are not going to be profitable unless we walk with God. Our bodies, it's like a spiritual therapy, but as long as we have to kind of force our spirits to do things that we know are right, that we know are good. Acknowledge every good thing that's in you in Christ Jesus and stop giving so much credit to the things that are not given to you by God. People suffer from all manner of shame and lack of self-esteem. And let their lives go down that track, and they just become so much less than what they could have been. Paul's saying to Philemon that the communication of your faith may be, as his prayer was, would become even more powerful by acknowledging every good thing which is in you in Christ. And God has, in 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1. Again, well-known verses, I hope, to you. Verse 3. 2 Peter 1, 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. All things that pertain unto life and godliness. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. So we're adding to this faith, building up this faith, virtue, and to virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness charity or love. If these seeds be in you and abound, they will make you that shall not, neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. He can't imagine that being part of his life and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I can't do that. Well, you forget that you are a new creature in Christ. It's not your strength. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, you know, I just can't do the things that I feel the Lord would have me to do. You can't or you won't. Stop acknowledging the limitations. Stop acknowledging the weaknesses. Stop acknowledging the flesh is really a key to an overcoming spiritual life. I pay attention to my body, but I try not to let my body tell me what to do. I know it's going to hurt. Doing some things, I know it's going to hurt. I know it's not always fun getting out of bed in the morning and going to work. But what happens if people say, you know, I don't feel like getting out of bed this morning and going to work? They don't have jobs. They don't have money. They don't have homes. They don't have food. They don't have many things in life. Why? Because they pay attention to a body that does not have their best interests in mind. The flesh serves the flesh. And the spirit is supposed to serve the Spirit. Our spirit is supposed to serve the Spirit of God. But we've been blessed with all these spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Everything. that pertains to life and godliness. And lastly, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 30. It must be chapter 2. Yep, chapter 1, excuse me. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 30 and 31. But of him, of God, are ye in Christ Jesus. You exist. You have your being in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. The Lord is all I need. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not need the fire department. They didn't need fireproof suits. They just needed the promises of God, the presence of God. Once we start acknowledging that in Christ we lack nothing, can we stop acknowledging that in the flesh we lack everything? We cannot live a life pleasing to God if we continually acknowledge the limitations of the flesh. I pray that the gift that you've been given in Christ is, you discover more and more, it's the gift that keeps on giving. And the more we put our trust in God, in Christ, the more we look to him for being our strength and our help in all our time of need, that there's nothing that we cannot do because his desire is towards us. So with that, as you're ready to come, you may come. God bless you.